It is exceedingly rare to find a vision of purgatory that involves Saint Joseph. There's only maybe two or three that I've ever found. The following one that I'm going to share is something that happened to a friend of mine, where Saint Joseph leads him into the Great Purgatory, and it's one of the most absolute and stunning visions I've ever heard. I've read a lot. This one will blow you away. You'll see for yourself. Listen to what happened to him, and then we're going to talk about it. During prayer, in a time free from distraction and inner noise, while my mind was sound and recollected in meditation, I was caught in spirit. I found myself in a cave, and before me stood an ancient door, one that seemed unable to be opened except by those entrusted with such access. There I saw Saint Joseph. He spoke no word to me, yet by his presence alone, my soul was made ready to enter to what lay beyond. Many things were taking place in that moment, but I was then granted access into a place I understood interiorly to be the Great Purgatory. There I saw ordained men and religious brothers and sisters being purified in a whirlwind of blue flame. The fire was terrible in its intensity. It moved with great force, and within it were souls carried in that blazing purification. The suffering I witnessed was profound beyond human speech. At that moment, I was drawn to the suffering of a cardinal who pleaded for relief. Along with this sight, I was given an understanding concerning the difficulty of obtaining the release, even of one soul, from that place. I understood that this place, which I perceived as the Great Purgatory, was shown to me as the deepest and most terrible region of purification, dark and unspeakably painful. I perceived it as a place where souls suffer on account of grave responsibilities left unfulfilled, especially those who had been entrusted with the care of many souls and failed in charity, fidelity, or humility. I also understood that pride, especially the illusion of one's own holiness or enlightenment, weighs heavily upon a soul at judgment. I was shown that access to intercede for souls in this place is not something attained by curiosity, emotion, or self-confidence, but only through a profound humility granted by God. This humility is not a thought or an appearance, but a true death to self, a stripping away of worldly attachment, vanity, distraction, and interior noise. Only a soul being formed in humility can be brought into that depth of prayer where such intercession becomes possible. I then understood that when a soul by grace grows in humility and recollection, it begins to acquire the ability to remain in mental prayer, even while living in the world, even amid activity, provided it remains in grace and guarded from distraction. In such a state, prayer becomes deeper, more hidden, more continuous, and more united to the will of God. I was given an interior sense that devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, fidelity to the Rosary, frequent confession worthy reception of the Holy Eucharist, and a living relationship with Jesus Christ through the Immaculate Heart of Mary all dispose the soul for this work of mercy. I also understood that such preparation is not mechanical, nor is it earned by formula, but rather that these practices dispose the soul to receive what only God can give. I perceived that to beg mercy for even one soul abandoned in that depth requires great purity of intention, perseverance in prayer, and a humility that does not presume on God. It is the Lord altogether with the Most Blessed Virgin Mary and under heavenly protection who acts. The praying soul only accompanies, intercedes, and offers itself in love. The prayer I received was this: Eternal Father, in whom mercy is infinite, we humbly offer the body and blood of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in union with the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, through her humble intercession, to free one soul from the deepest place of purification, where our prayers cannot reach by their own power. Graciously hear this prayer, O Lord, and have mercy on us all. Amen. I also understood that if such a grace were to be granted, the soul chosen for this work would first undergo a preparation. there would be an interior readiness of purification, a guarding of the heart before such an experience. Then on the day appointed, the soul would unite itself to the Holy Eucharist and enter deeply into meditation, especially through the Rosary, whether at home or before the Blessed Sacrament. What struck me deeply was this: every little sin is accounted for. Every thought, every consent, every idea entertained, every hidden movement of the heart matters. Nothing is lost before God. I was shown that sin begins as a thought, as an idea, and from that thought comes a movement, from the movement an action, and from the action a path. In this way, a single interior consent can send forth effects far beyond what the soul perceives in time. This vision left in me a profound fear of pride, a great reverence for holy responsibility, and a deep compassion for the suffering souls. It also left in me a renewed understanding that humility is not a small virtue, but a door. Without it, much remains closed. With it, the soul may be brought into places of intercession and mercy that it could never enter by its own strength. I have rarely read such an incredible account of a vision of purgatory. There is so much edifying truth here that you could meditate on it for years, especially what I think becomes revealed in me is just the profound arrogance maybe that I have, that we all have, in thinking that we could just move God by our prayer and that we don't have to kind of pay any price. This makes it clear that that is not the case, that we must pray before we pray. And before we pray to pray, we need to prepare. And we need to come to God crawling in humility, finding ourselves unworthy of even uttering a word to him, that we're not even worthy to ask him of anything. And that I think many of us have been going about prayer completely the wrong way, just cavalierly, or just thinking that God, for this or that reason, it just owes it to us to hear us, or we're angry if God doesn't hear us, that all of these are perceiving the reality of what we're praying for completely wrong. In this case, purgatory. Sometimes I think we perceive that it's just so easy. We just say a prayer and it just happens. Many, many visions that I've shared with you, from saints to lay people to regular people, to have all stated the similar idea that it's not as easy as we would like it to be. And I definitely want to emphasize these things that he says, that we must be afraid of pride. And our world is full of so much pride that we don't even really understand what humility is. So we first have to ask for humility and the grace to understand what even is humility, and that perhaps we're wrong about what we think humility is. And then to have this reverence for this responsibility placed on clergy, and to really strive to not judge them. I tend to think that if we judge someone, we either become guilty of the same sin because of the sin of judgment, that God will account to us that sin and punishment for judging the person, or that in judging the person, we've committed a greater sin no matter what the person did. Because to judge is a type of idolatry. It's thinking that we are God. It's making an idol of us, because only God can judge. And many people judge. I judge, we judge. And it's something that, especially in judgment of anyone in the church, that we need to stop immediately. Yesterday, we need to stop that. And we must have a deep compassion for the suffering souls in purgatory, but ask God to help us pray for them so that our prayer is effective, and it's not just ineffective, inefficient, or wrong prayer, because there is such a thing as prayer that's not done correctly. For instance, prayer out of pride. My friends, I sincerely hope that this vision that this friend of mine shared, that I believe they shared it with their spiritual director and then with me, I hope it edifies you, because it blew me away. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so. Subscribe, like, support this channel through Buy Me a Coffee. Happy Feast of St. Joseph. I'll see you in the next one.